On the line now, I have a Jeanette Lowe photographer. Hello, Jeanette, again. How are you?
Hi, Noel. How are you?
Good morning. I talked to you last year. It doesn't seem like a year. It certainly flew in, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Actually, it was actually this week last year that the exhibition was on in Pierce House. I think you came down. Thank you very much.
I did. And I remember meeting Damien Dempsey down there as well.
That's right, Damien Dempsey. And if I'd met you first, you could have at least told me who he was, because I had a conversation with him and he had to actually tell me he was a singer, and it was very embarrassing.
Did he give any indication of why he was down there?
He was down because his family came from Pierce House Flats, and they actually came from, I think it was Block C, just facing where the exhibition was.
Okay.
And I think he told me some story I didn't really believe about some fight, but he said that eventually they moved down to Bath Avenue, I think it was, maybe down in Ringsend.
A more posh apart. It's amazing, though, going down around there. I pass through there all the time, at least twice a week. And the whole surrounding area, especially coming onto the quays, the way things have changed. But Pierce House, with just a few renovations that they've done to it, it's basically the same, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically the same. I suppose it's quite funny because, you know, for this exhibition, I've been doing a lot of research into how the flats would have been when they were built originally. And because I might as well just say, as this year, as part of the exhibition, I'm converting a flat in Pierce House back to the 1930s. And at the same time, the exhibition from last year, which will be expanded, is moving into the National Photographic Archive in Temple Bar.
Okay.
So, but I've been doing some research, and it's funny because we've been looking at, you know, paint colours and stuff, you know, trying to get the correct colour that would have been on the walls. And the colour that kept cropping up among everybody was a green that was called Corporation Green. and they said everything was painted this green. And actually, it's funny because somebody told me that when you would have gone into the flats, as you might know now, the balconies and stuff would be painted, but they wouldn't have been painted in the past. They just would have been concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And every door would have been the same green, a very dark green. And all the pipes and fittings, anything that was painted in this green as well.
Well, at least it was uniform.
So it probably would have been quite, you know, regimental, really, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like an army barracks, actually.
Well, a lot of the flats and houses, even in small areas now, it looks like a bit like, I don't know, Ballymore used to be on for the telly, or for the kids, when it was all different colours on the different hall doors, and that's sort of what it reminds me of now. But how old is the flats, by the way?
Well, they started to build them in the early 1930s. It's funny because I've been trying to confirm when the first residents moved in. I haven't actually confirmed yet whether it's 1933 or 1934. If it's 33, it would make them, is it 70 years old this year?
Yeah.
What they did was they built, at the time there was huge building of flats going on. I think I was talking to you before about Herbert Sims, who was the assistant city architect. And I think they may have built about 4,500 units in Dublin at that time. And the Hanover Street development, which is part of Pierce House and Markovich House, were part of that. So they built them in blocks, and they were literally knocking down, you know, the tenement cottages and the tenement houses and moving people in block by block.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an ongoing, it was like a domino thing, you know. Mm-hmm. They'd knock down one and move people in. So early 30s, I suppose, is the answer.
Yeah, they're doing a similar thing out here as well in the Masonettes across the way. But I'm from Pierce Street myself. I was born just facing Pierce Square in the back of the school down there. So I remember the flats. I mean, in the 50s and all like that. So I would guess that the 30s is probably right, because they were well established in the 50s, because a lot of kids went to school with me and all like that and got to know them. Still meeting them, as a matter of fact. But it's amazing how when I went to the exhibition last week, or last year, as a matter of fact, seeing lots of pictures, meeting people in the room that I hadn't seen in many, many years. I'm sure you met them all, in all the course of the exhibition as it was going on.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the amazing thing about the exhibition. You know, it just seemed to act as a focal point for people to come, and it gave a lot of people an excuse and a reason to come back to the flats, which was, you know, it really wasn't something that I had anticipated. I mean, the exhibition last year, and the reason I wanted to have it in the flats was I wanted to give people who lived locally who might never have been in the flats a reason to come in and just to create some engagement. But the number of people that came back and en masse, you know, from the suburbs, you know, people who had moved out over the years, people from England. I had an American woman, you know, come back.
Yes, yeah.
And just people who just had these memories of growing up, probably 40s, 50s, and not with rose-tinted glasses. I mean, there were people crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about people being carried out with TB and, you know, like child mortality. But what they were saying was that there was a huge sense of community, and that even though nobody had anything, you know, everybody shared and you know, helped out each other.
Well, it was the same all over, I think, as I say, lots of places. I mean, apart, now there's little pockets, and I suppose that indicates the flats was a community, but I think that community sentiment spread into Pear Street, so the whole area was sort of looked upon as a community. How did you latch on to Pear's house in the first place? You know, how did you come up
with my grandmother would have been one of the first residents in Pear's house, so she lived, her family, the Savages, lived on the tenement cottages, and then my grandmother got married to her, changed her name then to Ashmore. And they literally lived, I don't know if you know where the swings are in Pierce House.
I do, yeah.
But there were, there were tenement cottages there, and they literally lived where the swings were. And as they knocked them down, they moved them into the flats. And I have to say, my grandmother didn't want to move into the flats. I mean, they hated leaving their little cottages, you know.
Yes, yeah.
And she often talked about it. But I think the reality was that, you know, there was a housing crisis in Dublin, and there were huge amounts of people living in tenement buildings and unsanitary conditions and damp buildings. And, you know, TB was rampant and child mortality was rampant. And, you know, I think building the flats actually provided a huge service to the city at the time.
Yeah, and I think as well, where you're talking there, I think there was a little bit of a stigma attached to flats as well. I mean, because I remember even people that lived in tenements, if they had any sort of decent tenement, I mean, there were decent tenements where people had enough space and it was okay, then they weren't too dilapidated. And when they were offered, because they wanted to knock down the tenements in and around where I was living anyway, a lot of people were reluctant to move out, especially if they were moving out of the area. A lot of people went out to Ballyfermot. We went to Ringsend. And, you know, there was a bit of a stigma attached to flats, whether they had reputations or not.
Yeah, I don't actually think things have changed, no. You know, and I also think as well that, actually, this is a very interesting topic, and it's come up in the last few days talking to people in the flats, because when you get, I mean, just in Pierce House alone, you have about 1,000 people, you have 345 flats. And as you say, I mean, the community is much bigger than that, because you have Markovic, you have all the people who've moved around City Quay, you have Pierce Street, you have Pierce Square, you've Ringsend, and all those people, I mean, their communities are all intertwined. And, I mean, the exhibition this year I'm calling Pierce House Village in the City. But it's essentially about, you know, these villages that are living, you know, these villages that exist within the heart of Dublin City that are pretty much invisible. And if you take any group of people, of 1,000 people, let's say, there's no way you can turn around and say they're all the same, you know.
No.
And there are hierarchies in every society. And as you say, there were good tenements. And if you go over to the library in Pierce Street and you look at the money people were paying for their rooms, you can see that, because I think they were paying 6 shillings for, or 2 shillings for a room in a tenement. They were paying, you know, 7 shillings for a cottage, 11 shillings for a bigger cottage. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that at the time, some people, you know, had income coming in, some people hadn't. So I think you're right. You can't just turn around and say that everybody was the same and living in poverty, because they weren't.
Well, one of the things I heard down there when I was down there, I've sort of been in the job I'm in, I keep my ears open all the time. And one of the things I was listening, and I heard one of, or two of the people, they were talking about the flat, and they were saying, God, these flats are absolutely fantastic. I mean, look what you'd pay a quarter of a million for it. I mean, in the city, the dog boxes that were built. I mean, and I had the same opinion when I used to go around looking at the newly built flats with no social amenities anywhere. They could have been, they built them all over the place. There's all sorts of arguments about it now. And I think that they were very well structured. Everything was in them that you'd want, and they were in a very good location where everything was around. You had Pierce Square with all the amenities for children, football, and then you had all the amenities there in Pierce House as well, with the playground and all that as well.
But think about it. You know, you're one block from the river. You know, last week during the and this week during the heat wave, people are heading down Sandymount Beach, which is a walk away. Mm-hmm. You can walk into town. It's just behind Trinity College. You know, I mean, the amenities are amazing. You walk into Henry Street. You know, people don't, they use buses to go to work out in the suburbs, because there's a lot of people working from the flats out in the suburbs. But they're an incredible location, and they're also very well-built flats.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, and I could... Hello?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to ask you a question. Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. I'm very sorry about that. No, I was going to ask did anyone mention anything about where the procedure was like that? It was kept in the family all the way through. But I think that's changing now, to the extent that, you know, that if to say there's only one or two left, they'll say, oh, no, 2-3-bedroom flats are not, so we put you somewhere else or whatever. Is anything, the heritage going through the family, is any of that being talked about, you know?
People talk about it. I don't 100% understand how flats are allocated or have been allocated over the years, if that's what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the families themselves. Of if you've got, a couple of children, a lot of people want to get out of them and they buy houses, but there might be, as there always may be, one or two who will stay with the mother and father. And when the mother and father pass away, automatically the children are left there. But I think that protocol is changing. I wonder, did you hear that about it? Obviously, you haven't. I'll have to check into that myself.
You know, I don't know about that, but I know, for example, a man died about, you know, within the last month, and the family are about to hand back the keys, mm-hmm. and they would have been original tenants from the 30s, mm-hmm. you know, so. Which is quite unusual, I suppose. But there, it is amazing when you get down there. There are still a lot of families that can trace their relatives back to the 30s, and also to, you know, the tenements that would have been there beforehand. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of people living in the same place in the heart of the city since the turn of the century.
Yeah, unfortunately, when the city was fractured a little bit and people sort of moved out, I mean, there's loads and loads over here in the Fingal area from Pierce Street and even for the field and Ballyfermot. And talking about moving, Janet, you're having this exhibition in Temple Bar. Is it solely in Temple Bar?
It's duly located.
Okay.
It's the National Photographic Archive, which is a very prestigious building, I suppose you'd call it. It took a great interest in the exhibition last year, and they asked me to move the exhibition to their gallery. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I hope you probably felt it yourself, there was something special last year in the flats when the exhibition was on. So, you know, I wanted to maybe, you know, try and do something else, because the exhibition last year only ran for 10 days. but 2,500 people came to it. So I was talking to Dublin City Council, and I had this idea that if we could have the exhibition duly located this time, mm-hmm. so it'll be in Temple Bar and it'll be in a flat in Pierce House, that would be very good. And to do something different, and also to, you know, maybe to just, touch the history and heritage and the culture, we decided that we'd try and bring the flat back to the 1930s. So we're in the process of doing that at the moment. I have a group of people, some people from the flats and some friends of mine, and we're literally, you know, stripping floorboards, scrubbing floors, putting up granny print wallpaper and, you know, sourcing pieces of furniture. And it's starting to take shape.
Have you got a few cans of green paint?
we have cans of Corporation Green, it's really weird. And what's wonderful is that even at this stage, and we're only doing it, people are walking in and having memories when they look at the walls and when they look at the wallpaper and stuff. And I think that's what this exhibition will be about this year. I mean, it will obviously be. About photography, and it'll be my contemporary photographs as well as the hundreds of old photographs that people are giving me, and they're still giving them to me.
Are you still looking for them? But,
yes, I'm still looking for them, and the Facebook page is still very much alive. I think this morning there was 920 likes on it, and we're talking 20 different countries now. I think last year it was only 16. So we have people in England talking to people in Texas who used to live in the flats and, you know, saying, will you look up my sister and have a cup of tea with her mm-hmm. down in Texas? And it's just amazing. You know, I mean, that part of it has been really amazing. The use of social media. And what I'm finding, you might think, well, you know, your granny wouldn't be looking at social media. But what's happening is the grandchildren are sitting down and showing their grandparents mm-hmm. the photographs, and then they're scanning their photographs and they're giving them to me, and the photographs are just wonderful. You know.
Well, if there's anyone listening now, as I said, a lot of people moved out here into the Fingal area from Pierce Street. If they had photographs, what should they do?
Well, if they go on to I'll give you my email address then. It's mm-hmm. Jeanette Lowe Photography, that's JeanettLowe photography at gmail.com. But if they go onto the Facebook page, and the Facebook page is just called Pierce House, so if you go onto Facebook and it's / Pierce House, all the contact details are there, and you can look at the, I think there's about 700 photographs there at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you were talking, I mean, jokingly there about the green paint, as well as some of the other things that have changed as regards with what they were called in the corporation flats, I don't know, the council flats now, I suppose they're called. They used to be always maintained by the corporation, like they were painted, and if there was anything wrong, they came and fixed it, and then that was all done away, and I suppose people saw them as their own now. I don't know if they were allowed to buy them or not. I know there was a case in Ringsend where they went into some of the blocks and said, OK, you can buy the flats. I was going to call them apartments, which I would think they would be called now. But everyone has to buy them or nobody. So you couldn't singularly buy them. I don't know if that's the case in Pierce House as well.
No, I don't think they ever offered them. I don't think they offered Pierce House for sale. I think some of the other ones around the area, they mm-hmm. did. I think, you know, they're beautiful flats, you mm-hmm. know, and I don't know if in the future they will offer them for sale, but I think in any other city, if you had flats like that, you know, people have talked about the mansions in London and the way they've become very exclusive now, mm-hmm. You know, because you've got location, you've got space. And, you know, you can't get a better location, really. So I don't think anyone has mentioned it yet, but who knows, in the future they may sell them to the people.
Yeah. OK, maybe Detroit. But the thing about it is, as well, it's all in perception because, I mean, as you said, the location, the size of them, All the amenities around it. I mean, even the square inside for children, the safety for them to play, they're actually worth a fortune compared to some of the smaller ones that's around the area that are private. So it's all a perception, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, you probably know yourself. I mean, you know, going around to Grand Canal Dock now, I mean, it's like being on the continent in this weather.
Yeah.
It's just stunning, you know, and it's one block away. And it's still the playground for a lot of the kids, you know, diving off the bridge there, which I probably shouldn't be saying, but there's hundreds of kids around there now swimming in the basin.
I saw them on Sunday night, so you can talk about it. Yeah, I saw them myself, going, wow, jumping off. But that's been there since time immemorial. I think I did it myself.
It is, and they're fearless.
Yeah, indeed they are. Listen, give us an idea of, or tell us exactly, rather, when the exhibition starts, when the flat in Pier Street will be ready, and about the exhibition in Temple Bar. I think it's the 8th of August at the beginning of it all, is it?
Yeah, the exhibition in Temple Bar will open on the 8th of August. And what I'm trying to do in the gallery there is, I mean, last year I brought a gallery to the flats. This year what I'm trying to do is bring the flats to a gallery, and I'm trying to put it in context and bring a sense of the flats, so it'll be more than just a photography exhibition. I'm planning to bring one of the old rings into the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember the rings that had the trees in them.
Mm-hmm.
where people sat. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be more, as I say, than the photography. And 1.4 kilometres up the road in Pierce House, we'll have a converted flat back to the 1930s, and that will also have contemporary and old photographs. So you can go to the gallery, have a look at the photographs, and experience the people of the flats, you know, from the past and the present. And then you can take a totally immersive experience and walk up to the flats and go in and see how people lived when they would have moved in the 30s, back to having the bath in the kitchen. To how they're living now, you know, as I say, somewhat invisibly, mm-hmm. in the heart of the city.
Okay, Jenna, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I will be down there to both places. I'll be both in Temple Bar and down to see the renovated, well, I can't say renovated because it's been put back to the way it was. But I'll be in both places anyway.
Thank you very much, Noel.